right. God has blessed us with a beautiful day. And it's so good that we can be together in the house of faith, God's children, praising the true and living God. And it's been wonderful singing with Tim and remembering our Lord's sacrifice, the words that Brother JT brought us, and just everyone's participating in the worship today. It has been edifying and encouraging, and we hope ultimately glorifying to He who is worthy of all glory, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that we have some guests with us today, and we're so glad that you're here. Hope you can stick around for a minute or two after the services and get to know us, because we'd love to get to know you. But it's really an exciting time for our congregation here at Livingston. I want to let you know that we've launched a new podcast, Text Talk the Podcast. And if you'd like to tune into that, it's on all of the podcast platforms, the major platforms. We'd love for you to listen to it. There's a kids Bible drill that's starting up tonight at 4:30 here in the auditorium. It's for the parents and with the small children, but everyone's telling us anybody can come and join. 4:30 tonight, a Bible drill for the little children. That's exciting. Of course, we know that right now we're in an elder deacon appointment process. Last week we were turning in our sheets to the elders. There was tremendous participation in that. So many papers. And that shows great spirit and enthusiasm for this work. And I know that as we go through that process, you're lifting it up in prayer. It is so, so important. One of the things that I'm excited about today, I want to speak to you on, is that Lord willing this May, we are going to have a summer-long preaching intern. And a preaching internship. I'm talking about this morning and a lesson that I'm calling It Takes a Church to Raise a Preacher. In Acts chapter 16 and verses 1 and 2, we get some insight into one of the journeys of the Apostle Paul, where he comes into the communities of Derbe and Lystra, and he is so impressed with a young man named Timothy, a man who is a disciple of good report among all the brethren, and Paul makes a determination, I want to take him with me. And so begins the process of training, equipping, and preparing another gospel preacher. Well, our congregation is embarking on an important work, a summer preacher equipping program. And we're very excited to have a young brother working with us, Brother Jackson Cook. This is his picture, but he's here with us today. And you're not going to have to wait too long before you get to meet him and even hear him speak, because if you come back tonight at 5 p.m., Jackson's going to be preaching. And we want you to hear him, and we want you to get to know him, because we're very excited about this opportunity and this work together. He's going to be beginning working with us, as I said, Lord willing, in May. And so what I want to do is take just a couple of minutes this morning, go through a few scriptures with you to talk about the work of gospel preaching. Isn't that important? We've been spending some time talking about deacons and talking about elders and pastors. We ought to talk about preachers. And how a church can work together to prepare a young man to preach. It takes a church to raise a preacher. On page 3 of the interactive outline, on page 3 of the program, you'll find an interactive outline. As we go through and look at the scriptures, we can fill in the blanks together. It keeps us on the same page. But I'm really glad you're here this morning as we take a few minutes to talk about preaching and gospel preaching and preparing a preacher. First thing I want to say this morning is that this is important kingdom work. Important kingdom work. Begin to think in your mind, where might a preacher go and spread the good news of Jesus Christ? Now, for Livingston, this is our first preacher training program. But I want you to know that it's a work that I've participated in with 10 different young men in years gone by. And some of those men I worked with for one summer, and some of them for two summers, some of them for a year or better. It depended on the goals of the young man and the goals of the congregation at the time. But after spending that time and investment of working together, they moved on. And it's so gratifying to see some of the places they've gone. And some of those fellows are preaching today in big cities like Chicago and Atlanta. Some of them have gone out a little bit west to Texas. And some of them preached up in New York for a time. And they're out east in North Carolina. They're just all over the place. And it's an incredible thing to know that we have a hand in encouraging and teaching and building up another fellow that's going to go out and preach the gospel to faraway places. Perhaps places that we have never been or never will go. And yet the impact in that young man's life leads to an impact in the kingdom of Christ. And these fellows, they work so hard, and by God's grace, He uses them. But we're always a part in that development. And it's such a joyful thing to think of. My heart is very much that of the Apostle John's in 3 John in verse number 4. when he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He's talking about all those who had learned the gospel because of his teaching and because of his preaching. I want you to think about this question right now. Do you have room in your heart for another son? Do you have room in your heart for one more son? It's such a beautiful thing, but there's something about the process of working with a fellow for a summer or a year, training him up in gospel preaching, that by the end of that time, it is the congregation who has a new son. There's such a joy and an affinity about the whole thing. This is very much the eyes that the Apostle Paul saw Timothy. This is my son. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 2. To Timothy, a true son in the faith. He began to see him as his own son. Or another worker that he trained and mentored in preaching, Titus. In Titus chapter 1 and verse number 4. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. By the end of a time working with a preacher and a young gospel preacher, the congregation has a son. And I'm glad that we get an opportunity to work with a young man. Edwin and I are excited to be working with Jackson. And this is an important kingdom work we can all be excited about. Second thing I want to share with you this morning is to talk about a preacher's work. When we talk about encouraging a young man, preparing him and helping him, what is it the work that we are preparing him to do? And so I want to spend a moment looking at some passages with you in 1st and 2nd Timothy, as well as Titus. But as we begin to investigate this, I'm going to focus in on three words used to describe a preacher. And the first word is the word evangelist. That's this Greek word, euangelistes, but it describes a proclaimer of good news. It comes from the same word where we get the word gospel, the evangel. This is the message that he shares with others. Three times you have the term appearing in the New Testament, in Acts 21 and verse 8, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, where evangelist is listed distinctly from that of pastors and teachers. We see in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 how the Lord gave some to be apostles and prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. And so here is this role, this work, this function in a local church that prepares all Christians to be what the Lord would have them to do, to be about his service and to be about his ministry. Evangelist is part of that. And then, of course, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 5, we find in God's word, they will turn their ear, but you, Timothy, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I know that in modern times, current times, it's very popular to take that word evangelist and associate it with the idea of traveling. The idea that traveling, going all over the country or all over the world, is inherent in the word evangelist. I just want you to appreciate that that's not so. That actually, the idea of travel is not inherent in this word, but it is the content of his message which is inherent in this word. This is a fellow who has given his life to a work and to a vocation of taking the good news to other people. That may involve travel to far off places. It may not. But it is about the content of the message, a preacher of the gospel. The second word is, of course, the word preacher. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Public proclamation of God's word. It is important. I know that we live in a society, and many of us ourselves are absolute gluttons for media. I mean, we just take it in so many different ways. And there are so many channels. So much media available today to communicate, and you can do good things with it. You can communicate the Word of God, and that can be on radio and television and podcasts and videos and blogs and vlogs and posts and stories and tweets and vines, and we can go on. There's probably some other words I don't even know, and it means communicating a message on social media. all of these media have their own way of framing, of filtering, of shaping a message. And a lot of good can be done with all of these tools. But there is a fundamental place in the church of the Lord for a bold, clear, studied, authoritative, articulate declaration of the Bible. That is a sermon. What's a sermon? A couple of years ago, my wife Julie was teaching the kindergarten Bible class, and she was asking the children, what is a sermon? And they thought about it. One little girl raised her hand and she said, a sermon is a very, very long preach. So well, this kid goes to Livingston. No. A very, very, very long preach. I'll just say this. A sermon does not have to be very, very long to be true and to be effective. But a sermon is important. It is so important. And it is inextricably linked to this work and this role that God has given to the church. I have another friend who says it much simpler. He just says this. A preacher gotta preach. And that's what a preacher is. It's got to preach. That's part of it. Here's the third word we find in 1st and 2nd Timothy. It is the word minister. In 1st Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6, 1st Timothy 4 and verse number 6, the scripture says in that place, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. It is our word diakonos. We studied it 2 weeks ago when we were talking about deacons. This word so often rendered servant. But in this case here, it is minister. And it is rendered minister in our English Bibles for Timothy. In the text, we see that he is especially a servant of the word and of doctrine. And yet this word is also translated deacon in other contexts. And I think the lesson here is that a preacher is not to be the only minister in the church. But he is a minister. He is a servant. A servant to God, a servant to the Word. You see, all of these terms speak to the work that is going on, a work to be performed, preaching and teaching the gospel, the Word of God. And whether that's going on publicly or privately, whether traveling or located, he's a servant to God, a servant to the church, and especially a servant of the Word of God. That's what a preacher is. And so the other side of the coin is what a preacher is not. And I take just a minute here to clarify some misconceptions about the role and work of a preacher. A preacher is not a prophet. He's not a prophet. When you go in the Bible and you read about prophets, prophets had a work and a role to be the mouthpiece of God, to take the word of God directly from God to the people. All right, it was dealing with direct revelation. God gave them a message and they proclaimed it. But no preacher today is getting direct revelation from God. They study God's word. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. Timothy is taught to meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Be diligent, Timothy is told, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Some of your versions, I know the King James says, study to show yourself approved. And it is talking about a diligence, a hard work in the Word of God to understand it correctly, that you may handle it correctly. This is serious, serious work. And yet there will be plenty today in the Pentecostal movement, the charismatic movement, who will say, hey, God just told me this. God just spoke to me. I'm just giving you this word from God. I'm not sure what all they're hearing or if they're hearing anything. But I will tell you this, that is not true. It is not direct revelation coming to them at that moment. Preachers are called upon to study this word, to handle it accurately, and proclaim it to other people. People are either preaching the Bible or they're not. But God is not directly inspiring men today with new revelation. So that's not what a preacher is today. A preacher is not a father. We're not raising up someone here to be a clergy, and you are a laity, to have some type of classes among God's people, as are present in other religious organizations, mother church arrangements, such as Roman Catholicism. But the Lord speaks against that in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 8. When you go to the Gospel of Matthew in the 23rd chapter, Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 8, here is Jesus, and he is drawing a clear distinction between his followers and those self-appointed religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees. He says in verse 8, but you do not be called, Matthew 23, verse 8, but you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Verse 9, do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And you do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. What's he saying here? We don't look at anyone other than Christ as the source of truth. We don't look at anyone other than Christ as the origin for life. And so we don't build in these distinctions. It's a glorious thing to be a child of God and a Christian, because we are all God's kleros. We are all God's clergy. We are all priests in Christ, able to go and worship and bring our worship to God ourselves. And so Father's not my title. Father's not the title of the preacher. A third, a preacher is not the pastor. The pastor. The word pastor, it means shepherd. It is used of overseers or elders, bishops in a local church. I won't spend a lot of time on this. We've been talking about it in some detail over the past couple of weeks. But again, to remind you, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, pastor is listed distinctly from evangelist in that place. And while an evangelist might be appointed in some circumstances to serve as an overseer or as an elder in a local church, they would just be a pastor among pastors, an elder among elders in the church, not the pastor, not the overseer. And we're trying to do things here like we read about them in the Bible. And the preacher's work is talked about extensively in Timothy, in Titus. Well, what will our summer program entail? What sorts of things did the summer preacher intern do? Well, as you might guess, we're going to be spending some time working together on preparing short talks and sermons and trying to encourage him in his writing skills. He's going to be a big reader. I hope he loves to read. He says he likes to read, but we'll find out if he loves to read. Because it's more than my voice. It's more than Edwin's voice. It's about helping a fellow to hear many voices and teachers. And a great way to do that is through books. Read a book about the Bible and its origins, about leadership, about communication skills, about doctrine, about history, about biography, so many things. Part of his work is just to be a shadow for the summer, to shadow Edwin, to shadow myself, about visitation, about Bible studies, about just dealing with the concerns and the responsibilities in local church work. And there's a whole lot that goes in with that. He'll have the opportunity to do some classroom co-teaching, to be a part of our Vacation Bible School. Super excited about the Vacation Bible School, June 14th through 17th. There's the brothers that are leading our effort right now, doing Bible studies in the jail. He wants to go along and take part in some of that jail work. We're going to set up some opportunities for him to interview elders in the church and interview preachers from other places. Our goal is to expose a young man to as many facets of the work of gospel preaching as possible. So that at the end of a summer, we can help him to decide, is this life's work for him? And if it is, then we are preparing him and we are helping him to lay a good foundation as he goes forward in this work. Those are some of the broad strokes of what we're going to be doing. Number three, I want to talk about areas where we all take part, that it really does take a church to prepare him. We really do this together. He becomes a son of the congregation in so many ways. Raising up and preparing, equipping and training, helping preachers to be preachers. It's truly the local church's responsibility. It is. In the Bible, there's no organization of churches, no structure or order of churches that certify ministers, like in a denomination or like in a mother church arrangement, such as Roman Catholicism. And so in those kinds of groups, in those organizations, they have their schools, they have their seminaries, so that they can teach their ministers and even license them and ordain them to preach. You can go preach in this denomination now, or go preach in this family of denominations now. Now, I will tell you this morning that I am not knocking in any way higher education or studying the Bible in any level. I'm not. We just need to understand that in the Bible, each church has the responsibility of inviting and appointing her own ministers, her own leadership. And the standard of a preacher's soundness, the standard of his appropriateness, is the Scriptures. It is his teaching and his work that is supposed to be tested by the Scriptures. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse number 1. 1 John chapter 4, in verse number 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And furthermore, workers in the church are tasked with preparing more workers. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 2. The Scripture says in that place, 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, a training program is not the only way that this can be done, but it is a way, and it is a good way. And what I'm showing you right now is that it needs to be done. The young preacher is prepared in the local church. How so? Well, he's prepared because he receives shepherding from elders. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, we learn that as elders that are given charge over the flock, they are to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And it's a remarkable thing, but as you begin to talk to some of the young men who have an interest or even a desire to give their life into this vocation of gospel preaching, so many men come into a training program and they have never been in a church with elders at all. I was able to come across the numbers a few years ago, and did you know that only about 30% of non-institutional local churches of Christ have elders? Only about 30%. And so for a young man to be able to see a church that has an eldership like Livingston, of men qualified by the Holy Spirit, who are spiritual and godly and frankly high caliber men, is an important and essential blessing. To see a church where there are elders and the elders work and they work well, to begin to understand in God's plan, evangelists, preachers work with elders. That's important. That's important. A preacher is prepared in the local church by mentoring from preachers. And we read 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 a moment ago, where Timothy needed to become now the mentor. The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will in turn tell others. Now, I like to use the word mentoring there. It's all of the things that have been committed. It is Bible knowledge and gospel truth, but it is seizing and experience. And I'll just tell you that so much of the growth and some of the best moments that come from a preacher training program are some of those kind of in-between moments where we're having a conversation about something in the car, going to the hospital, unpacking a little bit. What just happened here in a class? You know, things like this. There's where the mentoring is. And by the time a summer is done or a process is done, there's somebody they know they can call and seek advice from, someone who is on their side. And I tell you what, I'm so high on a preacher training program because I was the benefit of two. I worked two summers with a church with a fellow by the name of Ken Welliver, a year in another church with a fellow by the name of Carl McMurray. And I know they always have my best interests at heart. I can always call on them. And preachers need that. Preachers need that. Third thing. They receive instruction from teachers. Of course, this is what the local church provides us all, is good, sound instruction. I have a passage here I'm not going to read for the sake of time. But when the preacher Apollos, who was mighty in the Scriptures and a zealous fellow, actually did not understand the Word of God as accurately as he should, and it fell to an Aquila and Priscilla to take him aside and to teach him the way of God more accurately. This they did. Preachers are not above being questioned, and we all need to be continuing to learn. In fact, the best preachers do continue to learn and are taught from others. Just so you know, the way this program works, there is a syllabus. We're going to ask him to do some teaching and preaching. That's part of it. But his main job is to be the sponge that soaks it all up, to learn and to grow this summer. We are investing in him this summer. I'll tell you what he needs. He needs support from the brethren. I look at Timothy and I see a fellow in Acts 16 verses 1 and 2 who already had the support, the love of the brethren in the churches where he was a part and where he was a disciple. And let's talk about some of that support a little more specifically. From here at Livingston, he needs the support of your love. There's just nothing better than standing up and speaking to a room full of 300, 400 people that love you and love the Lord and they just want you to win. That's the best environment you're ever going to have. And for the fellow working in a training program, that's the environment he gets most of the time. People just love him for what he's doing and what he's trying to do, the steps he makes, and we just want to love on him. And so give him that pat on the back and give him that hug and pinch his cheek. He'll love that. Feel the love. I sell that because he's sitting right over there, right? That's awful. Encouragement. He needs our encouragement. He needs the attaboys, as I said a moment ago, words of affirmation and compliments. But you know what's encouraging? You know what's empowering? Your prayers. Be praying for him. Be praying for me and Edwin and the elders as we are mentoring him. Pray that this is a season of development and growth and strength. Pray for the potential of his ministry everywhere he goes from here. Be praying for him. Room and board. This is not something that I'm asking everyone in the room. But there's a special two or three families in this room, a special two or three families who have an extra room in their house. And part of this is we're looking for those volunteers, two or three families, who can keep them for a month or, you know, 5 weeks, something like that, to split the time in the summer. This is actually part of the program. I'm not saying anything about Jackson, because I don't know Jackson that well. I'm just going to speak for a minute from my experience with these other 10 guys. I said a moment ago, so many fellas come forward and they want to preach, right? They come from churches that are not organized with elders. They don't know anything about that. Can I tell you something else? Many of the young men I've worked with who have a heart for God, they want to preach. They come from homes that are tore up in a lot of ways. They have not benefited from just seeing like a Christian man and wife and being together for years and how marriage works. And regularly, one of the things the young men tell me they appreciate so much about the program was actually the time in the homes. And being adopted into families and just learning some things from those families about family life and about the way that looked. So this is a very intentional part of the way we do the training here. And another way to involve some other families and kind of rolling up their sleeves and taking a larger role in it. But think about that and come tell me. First two or three volunteers, come tell me after services. We want to keep them. Wait till after he preaches tonight. Maybe you'll know better then. Hospitality. Let me tell you that while two or three families are going to say, come be my son for a month. Come live in my house. It doesn't mean nobody else should take this guy out to lunch or supper. Get to know him. Spend time with him. Make friends with him. We all should. This is an important aspect of building him up and encouraging him and helping him get to know people in the congregation and what a loving church family Livingston is. When you have those times of hospitality, it's a wonderful time to share your history. Your history, your story, your slice of life. People and younger people learn so much from hearing about some of your experiences and places you've been and what you've done. Again, it's an enriching part of the program to get to know people. Because while we've focused an awful lot on one aspect of this work this morning, which is the Word of God and handling that accurately, can I tell you it is no less a work of people? And building the bridge of taking the Word of God to working with people? So how can we encourage a young man in those skills and abilities to work with people and a variety of people? He gets exposed to a variety of people who are willing to talk to him and share with him some of their stories. And of course, there's monetary support. This is a paid internship. And I want you to know that your generosity on the Lord's Day, when we pass the baskets around here in just a few minutes, it makes good work like this possible. When you're putting in, contributing in that way, it's allowing all of this to happen. And you are supporting and you're lifting it up. And it means a lot. As I look at that list there, and particularly about love and encouragement, hospitality, sharing our stories with one another, it is about investing in a summer and a young man. But these are the same kinds of things that all of God's children, all disciples, can share with one another and can invest in one another. I tell you what, if you're sitting here thinking, well, there's a lot of people going to have that guy out to have lunch before I ever get to. It's probably going to be a line. Look around you. Is there someone sitting close from the pew you could have lunch with in the meantime? To get to know and to build up in love, to show some hospitality, to share a little bit of your story? This is the kind of encouragement and edification that we all need from one another. And having that focal point, having that young man that we're trying to develop for a summer, it just reminds us all of these things. It reminds us all of these things. I want to say one other word and the lesson is yours. I just want us all to know as we begin this preacher training program together that we are going to allow the preachers and the elders to buffer criticisms about the intern. This is a learning environment and a learning program. This probably doesn't happen very often at all, but I'll just say this. Not every sermon is a home run. I really thought it was going to be an amen line. I'm not lying, Bob. I really thought it would. I was giving it the pause. Oh, well. Not every sermon is an amen sermon. Sometimes, particularly starting out, sermons can be even a little bit rough. For a lot of reasons, that it can be a little bit rough. And what we want to do is everyone participating in the program, and we want to recognize the good things and give them the attaboys, and you're going to have observations about things that were a little bit rough. And what we would like to do is for you to share those with the elders and with the preachers, with myself, so that what we can do is take all of that feedback. If it is a negative feedback, we will order it. We'll put it in a way that we can step by step build and make improvements incrementally. Okay? Incrementally. Does that make sense? In other words, let's say Andrew has a bad sermon and 300 people tell Andrew what is wrong with it. But it might be 50 different things. And so where do I start? What do I do next to make next week a little bit better? Right? It's going to be better. All those observations coming to the elders, coming to the preachers. And so we sit down and we have coffee on a Monday. And you guys just lift them up and lift them up and lift them up. And then on Sunday, I'll just tear them down a little bit. And we'll frame it in a way that here's one or two things that we're going to do better next time and we're going to build. Okay? It's going to be very positive. It's a learning environment and a growing environment. And if you'll work with us, church, on that, all of your input is valuable. But let us kind of bring those kinds of remarks directly to him. It's going to be the easiest growth time in the summer. So I want to say that and put that out there as well. But it's going to be a great, great summer. We're all getting in this together because I really do believe at the end of the day, it takes a church to raise a preacher. And I'm so excited about some of the very focused and choice steps we're taking this summer in order to help raise up a Brother Jackson Cook. Thank you so much for your good attention. If you want to put your Bibles away, put your notes away. Our brother Tim's going to come forward and lead us in another song here in just a moment. A song of invitation, a song of encouragement. As I read to you from the conclusion of the Gospel of Mark and chapter 16. And he said to them, as Jesus spoke to his apostles, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. It is the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the power of God to save men's souls. I am so excited to know that there's a young man who's interested in giving his life to that work wherever that might lead him to do those good things, and that we have an opportunity to play a small part in that development in a preacher training program. But as good as he is, and as good as he's going to be, it's never going to be that preacher or this preacher or some other preacher who is saving men's souls. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you are here this morning and not a Christian, it is the call to you to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe that he is the Son of God, then repent of sin of your life. Confess this faith before others and be baptized, immersed in water. Believe and be baptized, and you will be saved. If we can help you this morning to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, or pray for you, minister to any spiritual need, we invite you to come forward to make the desire known now, as together we stand and sing. Won't you please come?